the best thing ever.
It's so cute.
Okay, so we spoke last week. We talked about Yerushalayim. We didn't manage to read all of it inside, although at least one person read more. We'll see.
Actually read it.
Right? Was it amazing or was it amazing? Okay. It's something to work on, though. It's not like it's all... Even if you hear the idea as obvious, the accomplishing it so that you're thinking about it all the time, it's not obvious. But I think the serious tip over here, and that's what I want to just use to remind us where we were, was, well, first of all, of course, the definition of the Yira. Yiras Hashem means, strictly, to see God everywhere and to feel your own littleness in His greatness. So that is the definition of the aspiration of the mitzvah of Yiras Shamayim. But the what is the avoda of it? Meaning this is a mitzvah. He's bringing, it's a commandment. So the mitzvah was laying to heart all that scripture, Tanakh, has so far taught you about the greatness of God. And furthermore, as he said in paragraph 39, if you have a vivid conception of even one aspect of God's greatness, that will help prevent you from sin. Okay. Which means then that the avoda, the task, the bechira point of the mitzvah of Yiras Shamayim is the opening of your heart to see what's there. And that was indicated also by Avram at the Akedah, calling the Makom HaMikdash Hashem Yireh and Bahar Hashem Yireh. Seeing Hashem, seeing the signs of His activity and interaction with us throughout the world, and from there then coming to being seen, feeling that I am seen, knowing that I am seen, right? This is the sense that I am being watched and judged. Okay, so that opening your heart to that. So now let's turn to the last paragraph of this. I actually recorded it last time so that people could just hear it that way, which is paragraph 48 on page 24. It's the last paragraph in the essay on Yira. Early in life, therefore, if you have now read, and even if you haven't, these different aspects that you could focus on that would bring you to different higher and higher levels of Yiras Shamayim and awareness. Early in life, therefore, sons and daughters of Israel, he's talking to you. I mean, me also, I'm also a daughter of Israel. Yeah, but sensing yourself at the earlier time of your life, open your minds to the greatness of your God. Don't ignore the song that the universe is singing to you. That's Perek Shira. Everything is singing the glory of Hashem to you. Everything that happens to you is communicating Hashem's will to you. So open your mind to see it. Advance with your fathers to Sinai. And just as they beheld there God's greatness, majesty, and omnipotence, beheld how He and He alone is in everything, in the greatest as in the smallest, and the whole universe is enclosed in His greatness, so do you everywhere stand at Sinai. You say, well, I'm not in Midbar Sinai. How can I stand at Har Sinai? No, wherever you are, stand at Sinai. Let God everywhere reveal Himself to you in everything great and small. Seek Him everywhere. Everything which has been, which is, which will be. Above all, everything which has happened and will happen to you. Refer everywhere and always to God. Meaning refer it back. See where it came from. That's Hashem communicating with you. And think of it as being only from God. Not these things happen. Not sometimes it's like that. Not that person did it to me. Look, Rav Hirsch could teach it to us. Really, I can't. All I could do is learn it with you. I'm not holding by this all the time. If I'm lucky, if I'm fortunate, then something will happen. I gave you an example with cooking. I had a day or two where everything to do with cooking, the oven broke, then the next oven broke, then I cooked for people. They couldn't eat that kind of food. one thing after another. And since this, clearly there's a message being sent to me about something to do with how I feel about preparing food. The fortunate thing is to get that message way before Pesach. Because there's a lot of stress. But why is there stress? Okay, I'll give you an example. I don't want to get off topic because we have so little time. Why is there stress getting ready for Pesach? Because there's a time limit, and it's really, really important. I'm talking about Yisurei Karis. This is really important. So because it's very important, and I have a task, I have to make sure all the chametz is out, and it's a lot of work. There's a very fine line between what is my duty and what is my responsibility, and I am responsible for the success of the endeavor. Because I'm the mother of the house. It is my duty and my responsibility to get rid of all that chametz. It's very nice if my kids could help me, but I can't. That's not my it's my responsibility. Okay. But if I think it's my responsibility, who do I think is in charge here? Me. Really? When did I suddenly become in charge of the success of stuff? Never. And if I think I am the one who's in charge of the success of it, which sometimes happens to me in real life, that's why I can't teach about this, I can only learn about this, when that happens, that I think I'm responsible for the success, then I start to go out of my mind and I start to get totally crazed and stressed out because I'm trying to control something that I don't really have control over. I don't have control over success. That's what Rabbi Goldberg calls that crazy making, right? That's Rabbi Goldberg's term. Trying to be responsible for the success of something that you don't actually have the power over is crazy making. Yerushalayim says, Hashem is in charge of it all. Does that mean, therefore, I'm going to sit back and eat chocolates while he makes Pesach for me in my home? So let's hope not, because the only ways I know about it, he has lots of other ideas, right, would require, I don't know, like a fire, Chas V'Shalom, that would be terrible. Right, so I'd much rather be the one who gets to have the blessing of doing the job of the cleaning. But all I could do is the effort. I have to recognize my duty and put in the effort and put in the energy and the success. Okay. And then all of a sudden, there's no stress about it. It's just a matter of planning and doing and do your best. Right? That's what Bir Chometz is for. Okay. So refer everything that has happened and will happen to you everywhere and always to God, and think of it as being only from God, not from someone else, not even from yourself. So will every creature, even the smallest, every change, even the slightest, every fleeting moment, recall God to you. Everything, no matter how big or how small, is really calling out the name of Hashem to you. In its existence, in its activity, in the effect that it has on you, the impression it makes on you. Okay. Again, this is an avoda. You work on this. Maybe it's 1 minute a day, and then maybe sometime later you get to 2 minutes a day. And maybe it takes reminders. You know, when we have difficult things that happen in life, they're unfortunately very good at reminding us to think about that. The effort is to see that in everything, not require, you know. It took me to break 2 ovens in a row to notice there was a problem. The first oven broke. Did I say, what is Hashem trying to tell me? No. So then I called the Rav and he said I could self-clean the bottom oven and use that reflection on the top ovens. Now all the glass shattered all over the place. Never heard of an oven doing that. So I self-cleaned the bottom oven and that was broken. You know, after 2 ovens or 3 ovens, I start to get the point.
Aren't we not supposed to do that?
What?
I remember Mrs. Tandler one time telling us, like,
it's not superstitious.
Do you remember that?
Not superstitious.
Someone said something like, oh, like certain things happen, and she's like, so you're not a nubby, you don't know.
No, but you're not allowed to ignore.
You know, I thought you meant self-clean the oven.
That's what the repairman said. He said, never self-clean an oven right before a holiday. Unfortunately, he doesn't know anything about Pesach.
What? He's thinking,
Goyish holidays. No, he's saying, because then the oven breaks, and then you're stuck 2 days before that, like everyone else, whatever.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to ignore. This is really not our topic.
What was that?
This is really not our topic. First of all, we are not allowed to try and understand what anyone else's events mean to them. Oh, that's easy, right? Oh, we had that happen once. Somebody came to my husband. One of our kids was sick in the hospital and suggested that perhaps it had something to do with the political side they were taking in a shul issue. Really? I don't know when they became Hanafi, right? Okay. That we're not allowed to do. We're not even allowed to know for sure what Hashem is telling us. But we're not allowed to ignore what he's doing and saying to us. You can't ignore it. So what did I do? For me, I examined my own response to it, right? I said, why does this keep happening? Well, I'm feeling kind of stressed out, like I'm trying to do someone a favor, a chesed, and cook for them, and then they can't eat this, and then now I have to start over again, and the oven broke, and now it's even harder, and I'm trying so hard to do the right thing. So that's like red alert. I need to pay attention. I don't have to have the oven break for that to happen. I could notice I'm off track without that, but maybe I didn't. Do I know the reason? No, I don't know the reason why it happened. And I don't know what's going to be with the money. I don't know what's going to be if I'll have an oven for Pesach. I don't know, right? But am I allowed to not learn from it? How could that be? It can't be. Do I know Hashem's ways? No. But can I see where I sit in the middle of that universe? Yeah.
I think what you're calling is more saying about like hitting it on like specific things, like this and this happens for this and this to happen, and this is why, and this is exactly right. The lesson that you're supposed to.
That the oven broke so that I should do that. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a message for me. Everything that happens is talking to me. Every creature, even the smallest, every change, even the slightest, every fleeting moment, recall God to you. Hashem is there. He is in charge of what is going on here, not me. And I have to remember that. I have to remember that. I'm blessed to remember that. Because there's a whole majority of humanity that are like, no way, that's too intense. We opt out of Hashgacha Pratis. And that's called non-Jews. And then there's like a whole Jewish nation where Hashem says, this is Hashgacha Pratis life. That's what we're here. What a blessing that we are descended from people who opt in and say, yeah, that's advancing to Sinai. That's advancing to Sinai. Okay. The omnipotent, holy God will be everywhere present to you in his all-embracing greatness so that you may be servants to him and not sin. The outcome of feeling your smallness in his greatness is then that you can attach yourself to him. Show that you are the descendants of those who beheld the greatness of God in Egypt, at the Red Sea, at Sinai. This is the task laid before us. Okay. So I hate to even talk after that paragraph. The in-between paragraphs that we didn't read, if you read them, you will see very much what was going on with the Makos. To a great extent, they are the like Tetzach, Adash, Be'achav are like different levels of a lot of these revelations. The groupings, each one like demonstrating a different type aspect of the Gevura of Hashem to the world. And we looked at the Ramban. Okay. I made a note to myself, only if it's not yet, if it's just till 4 o'clock that we could read more Ramban. So we did the first part of the second half of this Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. And last time we talked about how there was such confusion and such confusion and corruption of Hashkafa already soon after the time of Adam Harishon. And what I want to look at now is these last three paragraphs. Okay, we were ended with the Vechein Kol Kayotze Bohen. It's on the left column. You see it says Vechein. Yeah? Okay. Mitzvos Rabo Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. So many mitzvos are Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Vehakol Yoslanu Bechol Hadoros Eidus Bemofsim Shelo Yishtakhu. These mitzvos that are Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim are a testimony throughout the generations of the wonders and miracles, that they not be forgotten. So there will be no more opening for a heretic to deny the emuna in Hashem. Right? That was the beginning of the whole story, was that this had gotten confused in different ways over the generations. And now, that's it. Yetzias Mitzrayim showed and demonstrated conclusively that Hashem is the creator and he is aware of what is going on and he is all-powerful. Nothing is able to override his will. He is paying attention and noticing mankind, and he even communicates with us. Ki hakone mezuza bezuza echad v'kav'a v'pitzcho v'niskavin b'inyon akvar hodeh v'chidush ha'olam uv'yediyas habori v'hashkachoso. Even a small mitzvah, there's not a random mitzvah he chose as an example, but buying a mezuzah, hanging it on the door with the intention of doing the mitzvah that Hashem commanded him, that small action is already a testimony that Hashem created the world, everything through, and communicates. When you do a mitzvah, saying Hashem communicates with mankind. And that in and of itself, like, is the, that's the final proof of all those different proofs that Hashem is in control of the universe. The gam b'nevuah, v'hemin b'chol pinas ha-Torah. In that act, you give testimony, you demonstrate emunah in all corners of the Torah. Milvad shehode b'chesed habori gadol me'od al osei ritzono. In addition to which, he's also expressing in that act of the mitzvah that Hashem's kindness, his chesed, is so great for those who do his will. Shehotzianu me'oso avdus l'cheros. He took us out from that severe enslavement to freedom, the kavod gadol, and tremendous respect. I think it's lezakos, to give merit. Lezakos avosehem. Maybe it's lezachos avosehem and the merit of. I'm not sure. It's a very interesting grammar. Hachafetim beyiras shemo. Because of their forefathers who desired that there should be Yerushalayim. And therefore, Amru, Chazal say, Hevezohir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura shekulan chamodos v'chavivos me'od. You should be careful with every mitzvah, no matter how small or how big. Because in every moment you're doing mitzvos, and in every moment through those mitzvos you are acknowledging your Hashem, your God. And that is the whole direction that we're taken in by all mitzvos, that we should have trust and confidence in Hashem and express and acknowledge that he created us. That's really kavanas hayetzira. That's what all creation's about. Okay, this is out of my league. I don't know. My security clearance doesn't go this far. This is what Hashem created us for. To be able to recognize what he does for us and express it. Comes down to the Dayan Dibor again, of that Rashi, remember? Hashem created man with Dayan Dibor. And that was Vayitzer, and this it says Yitzira, so I guess, okay. Ve'en kel elyon chafetz b'tachtonim novat, this is a Chazal, Melvad sheyeda ha'adam v'yoda l'elokav shebaro. Hashem's whole interest in having a lower physical world is this process. We don't know what this means, yeah? But we can understand our piece of it. The process of yediya, of knowing through experience, that a person should know through experience and acknowledge Hashem for creating him. It's to see it and recognize it. Wasn't that what we said about Yerushalayim? See it. See in the world that Hashem is caring for you, giving birth to you, providing for you, communicating with you, moving you in a certain direction. If there's a mountain in a certain place and a lake in another place and a river in another place, these things guide and shape where cities are built and where people are living. This is the universe's guiding human destiny. But it has no will of its own. It's only Hashem doing it through these means. That's those gloves in the baby's incubator, right? In the NICU, in the pagia. It's not the gloves that are moving the baby around. It's the hands that go into the gloves. Okay. The Kavana Romimus Hakol, this is why we raise our voices bitfilos when we daven. Kavanas bate knesios vizchus tfilos haravim, and coming together in groups to daven and sing our davening out loud. Because that's the other side of it. We recognize that Hashem is our creator and we sing the praise and we talk about it. A place to gather together and acknowledge and give thanks to God for creating us, the himtziam, and inventing us, and publicize it. Say before Hashem, we are your creations. Okay. This is a little bit of a finer point here. Tefillah requires voice. giving voice to it. Okay, so that's because we have to give voice. We have to actually say thank you to Hashem. Why not just in the mind? I mean, isn't Avodah Shebalev? Why would it require a voice? The voice, and this is now going to move us to part two of Pesach. We mentioned this once before. When you speak, it is the tiniest form of action. If you have a thought in your mind and you say the words of it, that is a physical action. Much lighter and much easier than actually doing the thing. It's much easier to say, I'll build a house, or I build a house, than to actually build the house. Yeah. But it is in fact a physical action. That's why Behi Bar'am, Behi Bar'am, that the world was created with a hay, is the lightest of all speech. The lightest and easiest sound. Meaning Hashem didn't have to put forth any effort to create the universe. It's described to us as Amira, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, or whatever. But the Torah also wants us to know there's no effort there. When it says Vayishbos Vayomer Shvi, it's not because he was tired. Shvisa means something else. It's not resting. Okay? So this speech is reality. And when we speak in tefillah, that's reality. That is the avoda of reality, of the physical world. Our avoda in this world is to do, at the very least, to speak it out. And in this way, it's avodas halev. Remember, the whole point here is how do we get this into our hearts? We have to visualize with our minds, we have to speak with our mouths, and in this way we'll influence our hearts from both sides. Okay, so now let's go forward and let's talk a little bit about seeing how this comes in even more into Pesach. So now let's turn to, it's paragraph 197, page 111. This is Isser Achila, Hana'a Umitziya, and Mitzvah Shvisa Shel Chametz. So all the mitzvahs relating to chametz. And getting rid of chametz, not eating chametz, not enjoying chametz, not finding chametz. This is the section. The whole event of the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, a divine manifestation means it shows itself in reality, a divine manifestation which laid the foundation of Israel as a people. In other words, the deliverance of Israel from Egypt was a divine manifestation. This was Hashem manifesting himself, showing himself to the world. That was what we saw in all those ones we didn't see on Yira. Together with everything which stems from it and which it teaches, stands, if you accept it, remember what was the whole avodah of the Yerushalayim? Open your eyes. Step forward into it. Approach it. Come see it. Okay. So, if you accept it as indeed it was, as an action revealing God's work, an action brought into being, as it were, by another divine imperative, let there be, Yehi. Okay. There is a creation here. Hashem created a people, a nation, and that's us. That is the creative act of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim also has 10 statements, just like the creation of the world has 10 statements.
That's so interesting.
And Hashem said, this is Pirkei Avos actually, Hashem says, right, did it ever happen before that a nation was born from within another nation? This is a creation over here, a creation of the universe. And everything's waiting for it, right? Yom HaShishi. Why is Yom HaShishi? Because we're waiting for the sixth day of Sivan. The beginning of this is here in Yetzias Mitzrayim. The world can't stand without it. Okay. Therefore, its act of speech, right? That's creation through speech in the history of mankind. The deliverance from Egypt fails as a revelation of God if you regard it as just another historical event where relying on your physical senses, you see only the human being, or at most, after lending yourself to a little thought, you grudgingly suspect the presence of God. Okay, if the first is the case, meaning if you open your mind and your heart to Yetzias Mitzrayim and you say, we were at the Memtesh Shari Toma. Did we deserve to come out of Mitzrayim? No. Did we do anything to help ourselves get out of Mitzrayim? No. We did not. We were not capable. It was a huge series of miracles that could not be conceived of except for the fact that they happened. So if you see that, then you attest, that means you testify to, the existence and the dominion of God in the life of a people. That was the Ramban, right? Yeah? And you, Israel, small in body, but despite your smallness and your weakness, stand steadfast as God's own, summoned to an exalted, spiritually powerful, world-inspiring purpose. You are Israel. You are Yisrael. You are an expression that Hashem is the ruler. That's what the name Yisrael means. You look at this people and you see that Hashem is king. That's what the name Yisrael means. If, however, the second is the case, so you start talking about like how important it was that, like, I don't like to say these things. There's such apikorsis. I don't know what to say. Like, on the other hand, you might come across such ideas that he indicated here, right? That there were people involved. You know, Moshe was a great leader. And Char goes to great effort to make you understand he couldn't even speak on his own. Unless it was the voice of Hashem coming from his throat, in which case he spoke very clearly and everyone could hear him, even if there were millions of people standing there. No loudspeakers. But he couldn't speak properly. He had a speech defect. There are people who will say he was a great leader. There are people who will say, well, they felt so subservient, but now they have this leader who grew up in the king's house and they realize they could be something more, I don't know, like independent, you know, spirit there somehow. No. Then it's not just that you missed the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Either you see, when it comes to Yira, you allow yourself to see your smallness in his greatness. Hashem is great, and that is what revealed. And what is also revealed is that I am not. Okay, there's also greatness in his greatness. Yeah, but who am I? I am small. We people are small. Then it's revealed. If the second is the case, all is lost. If a person can look at Yetzias Mitzrayim and try and talk about how the wind was blowing a certain way, I mean, the Pasuk says the wind was blowing, at the Yam Suf, and that's why it was so handy-dandy, and Venus came close, and we managed to cross. It's not just that you missed the point. All is lost. For the whole universe, all is lost. And you, Israel, go you, and mourn over your dream and your age-long misery. Take to heart the first of the two alternatives, which to the faithful descendants of Israel is eternally true and eternally new. Do not deceive yourself that a new spirit invaded your fathers after their long slavery, that they arose of their own will and fought battles and unaided wrested freedom from their tyrants by their victory. By the way, there was a group of Klal Yisrael that did leave on their own. B'nai Ephraim, right? And they also didn't make it. That's a fun one. But they didn't make it. Okay. Don't think there was some way to do this on our own. Think well over this. It was God's word alone which burst open Israel's dungeon. And they who had been sunk in slavery and bereft of all power and personal freedom went out free, borne aloft by God's word. That's what carried us out. His word alone. And so throughout the progress of time, yeah, did you notice in the Haggadah? Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf. Nothing else. Only Hashem's word took us out. And so throughout the progress of time, they, meaning Klal Yisrael, belong to God collectively as a nation, as do all men on earth individually. Therefore does Holy Writ say, the Torah says, remember the day of your deliverance, when Hashem your God with all his might, not you, brought you out of the house of bondage. Testify to this for yourself and for others by not enjoying in any way whatsoever any leaven, that means anything with chametz, in the days of your festival of deliverance, by not having any leaven in your possession, and indeed by removing any leaven from your possession even before the festival commences. Do you see how everything you've learned about how chametz is sort of like gaiva? You see how the tiniest speck of a gaiva here of thinking I was involved? Mm-hmm. is catastrophic to the message of Pesach. Unleavened was the bread which Israel's tyrants handed to Israel, their slaves. Thus, unleavened bread is itself a memorial to slavery. We left Mitzrayim in a chipazon. I brought sources, and I am so... I can't get concerned. Hashem knows what we're going to cover. Okay, here we go. Have a look. Let's go just jump to the end over here. We already referred to some of this before. On the back page, this one. Okay. See where it says Haggadah Shabbat? I have one here. Matzah zo she'anu achlim al shumma. Why do we eat matzah? Al shum shelo hispik betzekam shalav oseinu lahachamitz. Because the dough of our forefathers did not have time to become chametz. Ad she nigla aleihem melech malchei hamlochim. Until there was revealed before them melech malchei hamlochim. I just heard a beautiful explanation of this from Rabbi Hartman. What's melech malchei hamlochim? It doesn't mean king of kings. King of kings of kings. Melech Malchei Hamlochim. Who's the in-between kings? I get it. The kings are the kings, like people who have domination in this world. Hashem is the Melech. Who's the Malchei? Yeah, right? Me neither. Okay. So he shows, it's based on Maharal, it's nature. Specifically sun and moon. Lememsheles Bayom and Lememsheles Balayla. That's where the first idea of Memshela comes from. Meaning, Hashem is the king of even those forces which could affect kings, who themselves are the kings, right? Hashem is not just the king of the kings. Hashem is the king of even the natural forces, everything that could come down and affect. Okay, so this is Achenigla Lehem Melech Malchei Hamlochim. That's the key aspect here, right? Remember, a name of Hashem is a revelation to us of how we can understand, or try and relate to how he is relating to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uga'alam, and redeemed them. Shenemar Vayov, okay. Vayovu es habatzek asher hotziu mimitzrayim ugos matzah. So why do we eat matzah? Because when we left, there wasn't time to rise the dough. That's funny, because if you look at this pasuk here, Shmos Yud Beis Ches, there's a commandment, make a korban Pesach, right? And you have to sit with like your backpacks on, ready to go, right? You know what I'm talking about? Ve'achlu es habasar balayla hazeh. Eat the meat this night. Tzli esh, roasted over fire. Umatzos al merorim yochluhu. And eat matzah. Okay. So the Haggadah says we eat matzah because we were in a rush because the matzah didn't have time to rise. But, you know, it's funny, because the night before, we also were eating matzah with the Korban Pesach at the first Seder. And that wasn't because we were in a rush. In fact, we were ready to leave, and we couldn't leave yet. We're waiting for God's word to go. Not only that, citing the Gemara, we even ate it as slaves. Thus, unleavened bread is of itself a memorial to the slavery, and as such, it had already made its appearance in the hour of deliverance. So when we left, we'd already seen the matzah around. When at midday on the 14th of Nisan, the time of deliverance approached, Israel were not to win their freedom by their own efforts. They were not even allowed to leave their houses. They had to prepare for their wanderings and await the call of the Almighty God, which would summon them to freedom. We sat there with our shoes on, our bags packed, loaded in the car, like on the donkey, on our backs, eating and waiting for somebody to say it's time to go. Rather, they had to earn their freedom. So then what did we do? By complete surrender to God. By not doing. And in order to give expression, that's also a kind of doing. Sometimes being able to say, it's not me, it's you. Sometimes that's the Avodah. That's the Avodah of Pesach. And in order to give expression to this surrender by means of the Paschal offering, meaning the Pesach Korban, they had to partake of the offering with unleavened bread, matzah, the bread of affliction, oni, and with bitter herbs. By the way, oni is like la'anot, to answer, right, to reply. La'anot is always second. It's never the initiator. You can't respond until somebody has said something first. We can respond. We're not the initiators here. lechem oni. That's why the Haggadah opens with ha lachma anya. You got to have this Seder. There has to be matzah in front of you. It says this is bread of being the one who responds, not the one who's able to make it all happen. So that in this great hour of liberation, it would be impressed deeply upon their minds that they had contributed nothing to their liberation. That in the very hour of liberation, they were still slaves eating the bread of affliction until the word of God created anew the freedom which had been wrested from man. And when the great hour of freedom struck, Israel did not go. They had to be driven out by their tyrants, upon whom the land of God lay hand of God lay heavy, driven so that they did not even have time to prepare their bread and had to carry away dough in its unleavened state and bake it unleavened. Matzah is before we left, and matzah is when we left, and matzah is after we left, because that's the reality. We didn't do it. It's not something we did before. It's not something we did during. It's not something we did after. The only thing we did was we followed. We said, Hashem, we're in your hands. We don't know where you're taking us, God. It's somewhere good. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where we get. But you're taking us. It's enough. That's chesed ne'orai. Lechtech acharai b'min. We followed. That's the chesed. Thus did unleavened bread become an everlasting memorial throughout the generations to the redemption from Egypt brought about by God alone. For verily the people of Israel did not win their freedom by their own struggles. Indeed, their exodus was so little dependent on their own power and foresight that they neither could nor did prepare themselves with the most essential food, bread, for their awe-inspiring wanderings. Okay. I really want to do something else, but we don't have time. Let's turn to the last paragraph of this essay, which is on page 115. It's the end of section 204. When you ensure in this way, because in between he reviews the halachos in light of the meaning of matzah. Very awesome, very classic of Hirsch, but not for once a week. When you ensure in this way that all leaven is completely removed from your person and from your environment... Get it? From your person? That's like your personality, not just your pockets, and your environment, and that you have no enjoyment or use or ownership of it, and indeed you do away with it in and for yourself, meaning get rid of chametz in yourself and you get rid of chametz for yourself, and all that surrounds you. Do not carry out all this without pondering the significance of the divine ordinance. See what I meant about being really blessed to have the ovens break? Way in advance of Pesach. It's a gift. Sometimes I don't figure this out till I'm like falling to pieces before Pesach. What am I going to do? How will I manage? So I'm warned ahead. As you get rid of every bit of chametz and keep yourself clear of it, so too dismiss from your mind all presumptuous thoughts and remember Israel's mission as being the creation of God, chosen by him, the only one, snatched by him from the bondage of Egypt, and that you did not in this. He alone then is your God, meaning not even yourself. And him alone must you serve, not even yourself. And you must bear this destiny and this duty humbly and solemnly. This is our greatest pride as Klal Yisrael. The thing is, it's not pride in ourselves. You know, you hear people say, oh, like, we're so amazing. They're so awful. It could be true. But what it... We were chosen because we were chosen. It's just love. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't work at it. And you know what? That also means we can't lose it. It's Ava She'en Etzluya Badavar. If we only deserve to get out of Mitzrayim because we had done some type of particular mitzvah, what would happen in all the rest of the generations later when we didn't even manage that? That's what the Christians say about Jews. They blew it. But we see it's not so. Right? So sometimes we're really in bad shape. Right? That's not a good thing. The thing that gives us mission and glory and honor and blessing is this duty and this destiny that were just given to us. Okay. So we'll stop here. Shav Chag Kosher V'Sameach. It's an amazing thing. These source sheets, I don't think have Seamus. They probably have Seamus because they have hopes of them. They're Seamus. So you can keep them or you can hand them back. Basically what I did is I gave you there a selection of a couple psukim and some rashis that are focused on that issue that we talked about, which is that Hashem's word is reality. That is that bridge between Emuna, Yira, right? That the creative act of Hashem's word. And that the reason I skipped it is because we kind of touched on it last week about the Avos, that Hashem made promises to them about their children and they didn't see the results, but it didn't bother them at all. Because they knew if Hashem said it, that is what is real. And Moshe coming along and saying, Lama Hareosa, so the word Hareosa, remember Ramban, that which is Tov is already in the state which it is meant to be, like created to be, and that which is Ra is not yet there, meaning he can't yet see how this is Tov. And Hashem says, ah, for the days of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, well, whatever they saw, they already saw that it was Tov, it was Hashem's will, then it is already good. Yeah, so this is that's the message of Yitzchak's concern. So those psukim have in there. Okay? So we will reconvene after Pesach and Ritz Hashem. We're looking forward.
I didn't realize that the last one.
Pesach, the year is hurtling to a close.
Did you have an actual break?
Sorry?
Did you have an actual break?
Did I? They're not fixed yet. Of course, I wouldn't make up a thing like that.
They really broke?
But they're really not fixed yet either?
No, they said they're going to send me the money.
The same time.
It's a double oven, and I was closing the top one. I was cooking something, and it shattered. The glass shattered all over the inside oven. I never saw or heard of such a thing.
It's still broken.
So I called Rabbi Apter, and I said, I just want to make sure it's okay. I'll take the bottom oven and self-clean it to be fleishik. For the meantime, which we discussed, he said I could do that in this specific type of situation. And I did. And by the time it was done, it was broken.
Wait, what do you do now?
So they sent the repair. It's even under warranty. It's not even a year old. The repairman came and he fixed the bottom one, and they're supposed to give me my money back. I have to figure out some new oven, but
they can't fix the top one.
I hope you.
I don't think I would trust it. Yeah, me too. Whatever. It's all good. It's all good. It is all good. It's all good. You know, Baruch Hashem, I'm not a newlywed. Like, I do know how to cook without an oven. It's just really convenient.
You cook that oven.
There's a lot of things. You make things different ways. You know, you choose recipes. Yeah, I'm saying you choose other recipes.
Oh, what's that?
Like a convection oven? No, I don't actually. A lot of people use that for Pesach.
Yeah.
Really? Why?
If they're, like if it's hard to kosher your oven or you don't hold by it.
You don't kosher your oven. You have a convection.